This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
I want to turn to Hillary Clinton. And when Mr. Trump says that he does not want to pursue investigations of Hillary Clinton, what does he mean by that? Is he asking the FBI or the Justice Department to just stand down?
No, he's not. He respects the integrity of those institutions, and the next leaders of those institutions, when he's president, will do their jobs without the interference of the executive branch and the president of the United States. At the same time, President-elect Trump is being very magnanimous. What he said to the New York Times in the on-the-record interview was that he's just not focused on that right now. He's not focused on Hillary Clinton.
Well, did he overstep his role by making those public comments? Should he have been making public comments about that?
He's welcome to. He's the president-elect. He's about to be the leader of the free world. But he is not undercutting anybody's authority in any of those branches, as any of those positions. Martha, as you and I can know and respect, different people will have the authority and the autonomy to make those decisions based on the evidence presented to them. But this is how the president-elect feels at this moment about Hillary Clinton.
You were from the middle down in Cuban society, in the hierarchy, and you got free medicine that you didn't have under the dictator Batista. If you got some, if you could start a little business, if you could get access to higher education that you couldn't get unless you were an elite under Batista, you think of Castro in a whole different way.
Many believe that what he's done in Cuba has been a success in the sense that Cuba has one of the highest literacy rates in the world. They have doctors that they send, again, all over the world.
By then a declared socialist, he dramatically improved health care and literacy.
Many saw positives, education and health care for all, racial integration.
You see the medicine system they are very proud of. You see athletes, and think of how many Cuban athletes have enriched the sports in this country. And
I'm quite certain that they're not celebrating his death in Cuba. And he brought health care, and he got rid of Batista, and he made literacy a part of the Cuban government.
Even Castro's critics praise his advances in health care and in education.
And he was the original revolutionary. He was the man the people called the great revolutionary.
Castro was considered, even to this day, the George Washington of his country.
Fidel continued to promote leftist movements in Latin America, where he remained popular until his death.
Unlike other strongmen, the Cuban leader avoided creating the appearance of a cult of personality.
He was a romantic figure when he came into power, and when he knocked off a corrupt dictator, Batista, we American young high school kids and kids in those days rooted like mad for the guy. We thought, here was this guy in fatigues with a beard coming in out of the countryside, leading a revolution that swept aside this old corrupt regime, and he was going to be almost like a folk hero to most of us.
Recently had the opportunity to speak with one of Fidel Castro's sons, Alex Castro, who's a photographer who's captured his father's final years, and he told me that his father was never interested in the trappings of power, incredibly enough, and didn't like having a cult of personality.
I think that the Cubans have a tremendous sense of pride over his legacy, and I think that he will be remembered fondly.
And let's face it, a lot of people who fled Cuba to get to the United States, they weren't fleeing Castro, they wanted to get to the United States of America.
But it's still one of those nations where you see donkey carts alongside cars, trucks, and buses in downtown Havana, because that's exactly what they'd rather have for transportation.
And he was a voracious reader, questioning me about politics and about the economy back in the U.S., and very, very aware of everything that was going on. Very, very smart.
The Castro that I grew up knowing as a child growing up in Liberia was a Castro
who fought the South African apartheid regime that the United States was propping up.
And he would be a figure that you'd look up to and say, God, this guy's great.
No one there is going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know what, we need Jeffersonian democracy in this island nation. It's been a long time since Americans needed to catch up and keep up on things Cuban.
Now, as we've mentioned, not everybody is mourning or is sad about Fidel Castro's death. In fact, for Cuban exiles in Miami, this is a time for celebration.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to get involved in the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Roger Stone is with us, what some would describe as an alternative historian and Republican political consultant who has played a key role in the election of Republican presidents from Richard Nixon to Ronald Reagan, George H.W., and George W. Bush. Stone is the author of the book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Roger Stone, good to have you back with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm delighted to be with you, but the only thing you left out of my resume, the thing I'm probably proudest of course, is my long association and support for Donald J. Trump. So,
excellent. Well, I was going to get to that, okay?
I could not be happier. I must tell you, I'm still pinching myself.
Well, you saw this early on, Roger. Some of us could see what was happening. The media, they're beside themselves because they were so much into the tank for the wrong side that they just cannot believe the outcome.
Yeah, I think we finally got to the point in this country where we reached the perfect storm, where enough Americans began to understand that the elite leadership of the two parties that have been running the country for the last 40 years have run the country into the ditch.
And it was time to try
something entirely new and different.
Exactly. And new and different is the order of the day. But let's not abandon the fact that the guy's, probably the classic chief executive officer.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you can run a billion-dollar international corporation, particularly one with as much exposure as his business takes, you can run the federal government. In fact, perhaps the problem has been that we don't use business principles in running the federal government. That's why we have enormous debt and why we have enormous waste.
Mm-hmm.
I think the single best thing about Trump is the fact that he's not beholden to any special interest. He doesn't owe anybody, not the banks, not the financial interests, not Wall Street. I mean, he's his own man, and now he's the American people's man.
Yeah, there's no lobbyists going in and out of Trump Tower, is there?
Well, they may be, but they're leaving unhappy because
yes.
You can't bully this guy. You can't buy him. Mm-hmm. You can give as much to his inauguration you want. If you want to give him $500,000 tomorrow, that'd be great.
Right.
But don't think you're buying anything, because you're not.
You're buying
good government. That's what you're getting.
Exactly. Well, and like you, Roger, I said that perhaps we needed an outsider who could come in and almost be like a Chapter 11, a bankruptcy-type specialist CEO, a guy who can look without beholden, without having any particular penchant for anything other than getting this country back on track and making it great again. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of freedom in that, and it is driving the left nuts because it's no longer business as usual on the Beltway.
Yeah, no, the power elite, the K Street, Wall Street combine, and their and their allies in the mainstream media are in a total meltdown. Here's a guy who's not a member of their club. So, you know, everybody who has been on the Republican side can remember that every presidential election we've had, our candidate talked about cutting federal spending and getting the deficit under control. But it never really happens. We just talk about it. It's a great talking point. Now you have a guy who for whom there are no sacred cows. I mean, he is going to swing, you know, a wide broom. And I think ultimately he's going to take an axe to the waste and abuse that's in our federal budget. And this is driving the moneyed interest to have all kinds of DMEs and special provisions out of their mind. Out of their mind.
Will you imagine someone who comes into the office that actually puts the American people first? I mean, you know, God forbid we would serve the taxpayers, right?
Well, his list is relatively short. I mean, in all honesty, if he can seal our borders and build a system to more properly vet those who want to come in the country, if he can repeal these globalist trade deals that we were promised were the panacea and turned out to be the biggest mistakes perhaps we have made, NAFTA, and now gutting TPP, if he can recharge the economy by cutting corporate tax rates below those of China and Mexico and starting a flood of job creation in this country instead of abroad, two or three other financial reforms like his inversion program and so on, plus an overall tax cut, this economy will boom. With a booming economy, now you have the revenues to start addressing some of these problems.
Yeah,
so, I think it's a short list that he has to achieve to get the country back on the road to sanity.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention, you know, some quick things that he could do that would bring a great amount of relief and promote job creation once again. Is just some quick tweaks, you know, to Obamacare, which later on will repeal and replace. It's going to take some time to do that, but there's some things in the short term he could do that would give businesses a real shot in the arm, don't you think?
There's no question. I think they're going to take a hard look at these executive decisions that Obama has done unilaterally, many of which are job-crushing, many of which are anti-free enterprise, anti-capitalism in some cases. The onerous regulations they're putting businesses under. Now you add on the whole layer of oppressive taxation, and if you're a smart business person, you figure out at some point, wow, I can make a lot more money doing business in China or Mexico or elsewhere. We have to structure a situation in which the exact opposite is true, where business then, why am I doing business in China when I would pay lower taxes in the United States?
Well, Roger, you've been very acutely aware of, you know, the evangelical and Christian vote, Catholic vote especially. Why did they come out in record numbers this time for Donald Trump?
I mean, I really think to a certain extent, social issue voters, in some cases, subjugated their first interest to the larger interest of getting the country, you know, safe from Islamic terrorism and prosperous again. I mean, I have friends who are social conservatives who sense that Trump probably has a pretty tolerant view of gay marriage, for example. But that didn't stop them from voting for him, because if we're blown up by Islamic terrorists, it won't matter who is married to who.
Right, exactly.
You know, you have to have some sense of proportion. And this country was hurtling towards war with the Russians over Syria. Syria, where we have no interest and no friends.
Exactly.
Assad is financing Hezbollah, and he's propped up by the Russians. They're not our friends. And on the other side, you have ISIS propped up by the Saudis. Guess what? They're not our friends. Why would we go to war over this, spilling American blood and borrowing the money to wage the war because we're broke?
Yeah. And then what's in it for us, right?
Right. I mean, these are the Obama-Clinton policies brought us to the brink of the war with Russia. Now, Trump, he's a realist. He knows the Russians aren't our friends. But like Nixon, he favors a period of détente. Let's sit down for some hard-headed negotiations and see if we can't live together and maybe team up to crush ISIS, as opposed to lobbying nuclear weapons at each other, which is where we were headed under Obama.
Right. Well, President Obama said he'd be willing to meet with anybody in the world without precondition, but there's no doubt, whether it's stated or not, there is a precondition when you negotiate with one Donald J. Trump, isn't there?
Well, I have negotiated since I met him. I apologize for all the income and it's transition time, so you can imagine what that's like.
Right.
I have negotiated probably four of my own compensation agreements with Donald in the 40 years I've known him, 39 years. This is not a man who leaves anything on the table.
Right.
I mean, he is the toughest. He is the toughest, seriously, the toughest guy I have ever met.
Well, hey, Roger, let's leave it right there for just a second. We got to go to break. We'll be right back after this. Roger Stone is with us.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pelosi of the Pelosi Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America made food stores are love to eat. Yum!
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Thank you.
listening to Bill Martinez Live.
I want to thank you.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you.
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Roger Stone, the alternative historian, Republican political consultant who's played a key role in the election of Republican presidents from Richard Nixon to Ronald Reagan. Of course, let's add Donald J. Trump to that stellar list as well. Roger, before the break, you were talking about what a tough negotiator Donald Trump is. And this is something the left doesn't even want to begin to embrace and understand because they don't understand business.
Example, through this campaign, Trump talked relentlessly about tariffs. Chinese want to screw out with us, I'll just slap on tariffs. Now, I don't think he'll ever really do that, but he'll certainly threaten to do it, and he might do it.
Right.
He'd much rather have them come to the table and make a deal so he doesn't have to do that. At the same time, if he's cutting the corporate tax rate below the 30% that the Chinese currently charge, he cuts their knees out from under them. They'll be afraid that he's going to do tariffs, and you'll make a deal. He's a bold negotiator. I think he understands the downside of tariffs, but it's a club that he's using on his competitors. Okay, fine. You want to send a car here? I'll just throw a $1,000 tax on for every car. Or maybe we can sit down and talk. So, look, I just think he's the guy you want at the table with the Chinese, with the Mexicans, you know, with our trade partners to forge a whole new deal.
Well, what a concept, Roger, that fair trade or free trade would be fair trade.
Yeah, I mean, look, Trump is a free trader in the purest sense of the word, but he understands that we have an uneven playing field.
Exactly.
Stacked deck. So if we really had free trade, that'd be great, but we don't really have it. So therefore, his position is not anti-free trade. It's kind of smart trade, if you will.
Exactly. I got to tell you, Roger, I've been real excited with this Donald Trump presidency, the jobs that will be created. I believe there's low-hanging fruit, and his ambitions for his first 100 days could be greatly realized and could solve a lot. In the marketing realm, we often say that ideas solve sales and sales solve everything. And in politics, it's all about the economy. There's so much to be solved when people are back to work, happy to be coming home after putting in a good earning hard day's work at the office and that. And America has been stagnant for the last decade, and they are eager to get back to work. And we've got this pent-up potential just waiting to be expressed. And I think Donald Trump is the guy to open up the gates. What do you think?
Not only do I agree, but I think he's got one unique opportunity, which is if he can bring prosperity and opportunity to the inner cities, to African Americans, to Hispanics, we could have one of the most historic realignments of all time. They never had, African Americans particularly, never had any great affinity for Hillary Clinton. They did vote for her in overwhelming numbers because of the usual scare tactics used by the Democrats. I saw a great flyer this morning. I was in downtown Miami. Guy hands me a flyer. Donald Trump is going to provide federal funding for the Ku Klux Klan. No, he isn't. Who says?
Yes.
This is
yes.
nonsense. This is
right.
This is part of this whole, you know, George Soros financed assault on him. No, he's not dissolving gay marriages. No, he's not reimposing segregation. No, he is not building a Ku Klux Klan museum. These are the kind of crazy lefty, you know, nutcase charges all over the net today.
Well, it's so extreme, Roger. I agree. You know, they're so quick all of a sudden, you know, this alt-right and white supremacy and everything else. But let's not talk about, you know, the alt-left and what they've done, you know, including the money and the power brokering of one George Soros that has been going on endlessly. And, of course, the mainstream media who's been complicit in it all. And I find it quite galling that they want to call exception to this and then make up stories. I mean, we've known about the fake news. WikiLeaks exposed it big time as to what these guys were doing, and it came back and bit them in the back end.
Well, and it's not just, little unknown or obscure websites. The New York Times writes the day after the election that in his campaign, Trump disparaged black people, Hispanics, gays, and women. No, he didn't. No,
yes.
He didn't. Who
right.
says? That's just wrong, but still page one above the fold.
Yeah.
So, look, I don't expect that to change. The good news is that the mainstream media no longer has a monopoly. Thanks to shows like this one and talk radio and the internet and Breitbart and Daily Caller and Infowars.com and StoneColdTruth.com and the entire network of alternative media, no one can control the narrative anymore. The American people get to know a lot more.
Right.
They get to make their own decisions. Used to be, when I started in politics, there was three networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. If it wasn't on them, it didn't happen.
Well, yeah, they commanded 85% of the viewing audience back then, Roger. You know, imagine today, less than 50.
And declining.
Yes.
Because younger voters aren't watching television for their news. They're getting their news from their handheld device on demand when they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not rushing home to see the 6 o'clock news. So the nature of the change in communications has, I think, in many ways, fired and galvanized the Trump revolution. I have a book coming out on Inauguration Day called The Making of the President 2016, Donald Trump orchestrated an American revolution and proved the mainstream media wrong. In which I'm going to get into this entire kind of cosmic look at it.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, you'll be back, and I'll be chasing you down for that one, too. We need to have your insight on that, Roger. You know, as you say, Donald Trump is not beholden. There are some media outlets like ours, totally independent, which allows us to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And, of course, like anything, like my old mentor used to say, your charm's only as good as your bottom line. No doubt that President Obama got in a lot on charm, and now he's leaving with little to the bottom line.
Well, and look, I'm hopeful that the president-elect will bypass big media and do a series of radio interviews around the country with, you know, with small media, not small meaning minute, but look at it regionally, look at it from the point of view of communicating around the mainstream guys who are bending the narrative and take your case right to the people. So, I mean, I think Trump is going to be a very unpredictable president. The most predictable thing about Trump is that he's unpredictable.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, so, you know, so for example, ditching his Secret Service detail and going to dinner at 21 the other
night. Yes, 21,
yes. I love that.
Yeah, I did
too. I love
that.
That's what a regular guy would do.
Yeah, exactly. And as you say, as unpredictable as he is, you know, the mainstream media has been left in the lurch here because look what they reported. Look what they are reporting, Roger. They're losing all credibility. Whatever, you know, remnant of credibility they had, they're like, you know, they're doubling down on this deal. And it's amazing to me that they're setting themselves up for an even greater fall.
Look, they failed to expose the fact that the demonstrations against Trump and the violence at his rally was all fomented. It was all paid for agitprop. It was
right. AstroTurf.
You know, thugs paid by Soros being told to wear Bernie Sanders T-shirts so poor Bernie gets blamed, even though he has nothing to do with it. It was a Clinton operation, start to finish. The Veritas videos proved it. WikiLeaks proved it. They're busted.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, David Brock, Dr. Evil's, you know, money laundering like an SOB with hard dollar monies, non-profit monies. Soros is writing him checks for $30, $40 million. He's misusing, you know, non-profit tax vehicles to launch personal attacks on Donald Trump. The whole thing is, it is amazing when you look at the fact that Hillary and Soros and their allies probably all told spent somewhere near $1.5 billion. Donald Trump and his allies probably spent all told $280 million?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yep, exactly. And when it was projected that both would be spending over $1 billion, Donald Trump again defied all odds, and he comes up the big winner. And I believe because he wins, America wins, Roger Stone. And I'm excited for this future. It looks rather bright ahead of us.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you, Bill, and you can keep up with me at StoneColdTruth.com. I'm going to be out there fighting for the Trump agenda.
Yep, you and me both. Roger Stone on Bill Martinez Live.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shoot yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We are ready to take this country in a fundamentally new direction.
You have no idea what is upon us now.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're here with you to keep them honest. Yes, turn it up. Why not? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. You know, for the first time in history, at least that I can remember, a presidential candidate publicly issued a list of his potential choices for the court. The question is, did that strategy work? Well, I can tell you, many people that I spoke with said the most important thing for them, particularly people of faith, had to do with SCOTUS, the Supreme Court choices, and the kind of choice that we would get. There was a clear delineation between the two candidates, what Donald Trump was going to offer and what Hillary Clinton was going to offer. Our next guest explains and breaks it down even more for us. Carrie Severino, Chief Counsel, Policy Director of the Judicial Crisis Network, is with us in this capacity. She's testified before Congress on assorted constitutional issues and briefed senators on judicial nominations. Ms. Severino has been extensively quoted in the media and regularly appeared on TV and radio shows just like ours. So we appreciate her having the time to come on Bill Martinez Live. Carrie, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Great. Great to be here, Bill.
Well, probably the first time I ever remember. Is this about the first time that you ever heard of a presidential candidate saying, look, if you elect me, here's the kind of judges I'm going to nominate?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know of another historical example of that. And I think that's a great precedent to set because think of it. I mean, the Supreme Court, these are justices who are there for life. And that is often meaning, you know, 30 years. And they're the ones who are deciding for the country how we're going to interpret the Constitution. It's an incredibly important task of the president, and I don't think it's gotten enough at play previously. But boy, this year, that really changed in the election. I think Trump's list helped make that, especially along with, you know, the great consistency of the Republican senators that meant give the people a real voice.
Well, Mitch McConnell got some kudos out of this, didn't he?
No, it was really, his leadership was exceptional on this issue. And I think we probably, it's because of that and people realizing the stakes of the Supreme Court, I really think that could have been key to the election result.
I know that others on the other side, you know, well, I'll tell you, if you were in Merrick Garland's position, you would have liked an up or down vote. And it's tough, you know, to be in that situation, to kind of be left hanging. But there was plenty of tradition, and you and I have talked about this before, when, you know, things, the tables were altered a little bit, and the Democrats were in the power seat, and they were saying, you know, to George W. Bush, don't even think about it. Don't even offer anybody up. And this wasn't even in the year. This was, 2 years before he was done with his administration.
Oh, yeah. No, Joe Biden has a long history of doing this. He certainly said he would do it for Supreme Court nominee. And you know he means it because he did this for many, many, I mean, dozens of appellate court nominees where it was, you know, in the last year or so of a presidency, oh, sorry, we just, no hearings, no votes, no nothing.
Right.
Unfortunately, while it would be lovely if everyone just, you know, played really nicely, you can't work that way when the Democrats are really playing hardball here. You know, that was Biden's rule that he laid out. And now, I guess he realizes that he'd only like that rule apply to one side and not the other.
Exactly. Well, and especially in this particular case, when you had, you know, a ninth judge, I mean, right now, I mean, this would be a decisive appointment. And of course, you're talking about replacing someone, you know, like Justice Scalia, an iconic figure. I mean, you know, for conservatism and for the conservative viewpoint, and clearly a good percentage of America wanted to make sure that we had somebody of his ilk in that chair.
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about people you've talked to, but the polling numbers really bear it out. The exit polls show that about one-fifth of American people said that the Supreme Court was their most important issue. I don't know when the last time that happened as either.
Yeah.
And 70% of people said that the Supreme Court was either very important or the most important. And, of course, the more important you felt the Supreme Court was, the more likely you were to vote for Donald Trump. So he won by a decisive margin the people who thought that it was the most important issue. And I think that's because America didn't want to see the court dramatically lurch to the left like would happen if you had Justice Scalia replaced with a reliable fifth liberal vote. They could just run the tables on just a whole series of issues. And Hillary Clinton helped us all by laying out what those issues were. You knew exactly what policy goals she was trying to achieve by her Supreme Court picks.
Well, the forgotten man and woman in America remembered, and thank God they responded by coming to the polls. And as you say, there was increasing awareness, even though you would hear, you know, some anecdotal responses to the Supreme Court where you're thinking, wow, you know, this is pretty scary stuff in terms of the ignorance and the lack of knowledge and understanding of what happens at the Supreme Court. But because of the major issues that we have been recently facing, people were starting to open their eyes to go, wait a minute here. We need to make sure that we're represented and we have, you know, I guess some balance, you might say, and also people that want to follow the rule of law because the court, as you know, Carrie, has been accused, for the last several decades, of activism.
Yeah, and unfortunately, many of the justices on the court, four of them at least, have a philosophy of how they interpret the law that really just opens the door to bringing in your policy preferences. I don't know if they do it, you know, intentionally. I hope not. But I do think that their approach to the Constitution, where you're looking at it and saying, oh, well, this can develop, this can evolve, it really just opens the door to saying, well, which way do I think it should evolve, or how do I think it's evolving? That's not the job of a judge. A judge should look at the law. You know, it may be the legislature's job to figure out, okay, where is America now? What might have changed? How do we want to change our laws? But that's why we elect our representatives to do that. Judges are on there for life terms, so they can be free to just look independently at the law itself, at the Constitution itself. That's Justice Scalia's approach. That's his legacy.
Exactly.
And I hope that's what our next justice will have as well.
Well, Carrie, is there a way to put the genie back in the bottle a little bit here and put some pressure on the Supreme Court to where it is more in the position, as you state, as a body of interpretation as opposed to a body of, actuating laws? Is there a way to do that? You know, how can we, the people, push back on this? Because clearly when they do the, and they have done this, I mean, we've even had federal courts, the Ninth District, for example, in California, vacated 8 million votes with one signature. You have one federal judge just vacating 8 million votes. How can that happen?
I think the number one way that the people can push back on that is exactly what happened in this election, both giving us a president who has committed to putting on people that, and not just talking about it, but giving a real list so you could see, this is what I mean, and these are people who have... The judges he listed on those lists, I was so impressed because It's people who have that record of not just talking about a judicial philosophy, but standing up to it when they're getting that political pressure. And that's really exciting. And then the other key is the Senate. I mean, if Republicans didn't have the Senate, it really ties the president's hands because Democrats have been absolutely no holds barred in terms of trying to refuse to give to confirm consistent principled judges. So I think we just need to continue making sure they know that's a priority. And I think we have to realize that a lot of times the things that are going on in the press, some of this came out in some of the WikiLeaks revelation of emails, that we could see that people within the Clinton campaign were actually intentionally trying to use the press and use this public dialogue to influence the court, particularly in the Obamacare case. They felt like their pressure, they're talking about, oh, you're going to lose the integrity of the court if you overrule this major legislation.
Right.
They certainly felt like that affected the case. I think a lot of people felt the same way. And that really does undermine the integrity of the court when people think it's kind of up for sale for whatever's in the front page of the New York Times.
Well, I got to tell you, I was real uncomfortable when the president, I thought, fired a salvo over the bow of SCOTUS's boat there. Speaking of Obamacare, I thought, whoa, and then this is, he's like on hallowed ground here. And the fact that he wasn't, corrected in some sort of manner by the Chief Justice, frankly, between you and me, I was a bit surprised because it just gave the president place to be able to make those kind of statements. And I thought it was a bit awkward and inappropriate, in my humble opinion. Carrie Severino, thank you so much for being with us, Carrie. I appreciate the insight. Good stuff here. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 18 before the top of the hour.
How would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu. But you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. It's not too late. Shoot yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
you haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Stand up and say it. Bill Martinez live.
He's fighting the good fight. Never keep letting your light shine.
Lord, we need an army of believers. Raise up warriors who will fight on their knees. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
Keep fighting.
Bill Martinez live.
I'll tell you, the fight continues. It's not over. It's just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to get this country back on track. And I thank you for joining in on the cause. It is one worth fighting for. It involves not only ourselves, but I think about our kids and our grandkids as well. And our next guest is going to enlighten us about a rather passionate founding father who I believe held the same sentiment. It's just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour right now, and we're talking about Alexander Hamilton, perhaps the least loved founding father. That's what's been said about Hamilton just a decade ago by author and historian Darren Staloff. But, man, you know, things have changed, especially if you've been to Broadway and you've tried to get tickets for the Broadway musical blockbuster that Lin-Manuel Miranda's efforts have done, and what it has done to bring to life the story of one Alexander Hamilton. It has literally taken center stage, catapulting him to transform into one of the most admired statesmen in American history. And here to tell us more is the author of the brand new book, Hamilton. Richard Silla is with us. Richard, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Bill, it's great to be with you this morning. I'm fine.
What a wonderful book. I mean, and perfect timing in light of, you know, what's been happening in Broadway, all the awards and the talk and how Alexander Hamilton has taken center stage. And for you, in a sense, to kind of bring it full circle and document his life with this richly illustrated biography. I mean, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud of the book. I think it's a very nice-looking book.
Yeah. When you started to write this book, what was your motivation? Because, I mean, you got a lot of information here, and I imagine, you know, as you thought, okay, well, I'm gonna write this story about him, but I have the sense that it took a life of its own as you were writing the book. Am I right?
Well, I'd been studying the man for half a century, roughly speaking, and so I knew him pretty well. I sometimes say Hamilton is a good friend of mine, and What I thought was that the most people, what do they know about him? They know he was the first Treasury Secretary, which is why he's on the $10 bill, and they know he died in a duel with Aaron Burr. I myself think that Hamilton was, you know, much more than that. He was involved heavily in our independence, in our drive for the Constitution, and setting up our financial system, and creating our military establishment. You know, he sort of drew up the plans for West Point, and things like important safeguards of our freedom, like judicial review, what the Supreme Court does when it says the law is unconstitutional. Hamilton was involved in all of these things, which made the United States what it is. And so my hope with the book is that people who are now interested because of the buzz about Hamilton on Broadway will want to learn more about him in a nice way where they have a lot of illustrations to show what his world was like.
Exactly. And you go, it's about time. And no doubt what Lin-Manuel Miranda has done on Broadway with Hamilton. What was your thoughts? Have you had a chance to see the play yet yourself?
Oh, I've seen it three times. You know, I saw it when it first opened off Broadway. I saw it on opening night on Broadway, and just a couple weeks ago I saw it for a third time, and it's really great. I would go again and again and again. It's just a very wonderful show.
Well, we're hoping to see it. We've got things in the works here, and it looks like we're going to be able to have our first chance to see it here in the coming weeks as we make our annual pilgrimage to New York for the holidays.
It's well worth seeing. Yeah. I hope you get a ticket.
Exactly. Well, like I said, we've got lots of things in the works here, and looking forward to it. So for you, as you start to understand that people are appreciating someone that you studied for so long, I guess part of you say it's about time, and there is a heightened appreciation of Alexander Hamilton, you know, for all the reasons that you just mentioned, his involvement in the early founding and the infrastructure of our economic system.
That's right. I say in the book that probably his greatest achievement, because he was the only one in the country who could have done it, was setting up our financial system. Hamilton had studied financial history. That happens to be what I teach. And so I teach a lot about Hamilton studying financial history, drawing the right lessons from it. And, you know, while he was Treasury Secretary from 1789 to 1795, finance just changed in the U.S. We got the birth of the Treasury bond market. We got our first central bank. We got the U.S. dollar. We got the stock markets on Wall Street and other cities. We got a banking system because the Hamilton induced the states to charter more banks and a lot of corporations, too. So in a few years, he totally modernized our finances, and the United States was off and running as a fast-growing economy.
You know, I've often said that when you give somebody a clean canvas and allow their talents to express themselves, the results are quite wonderful. And this is what we find repeatedly occurring with our founding fathers, was what a grand opportunity. It's like, you know, let's build a country. Let's build a whole new concept, a whole political economic system. And how do we do that? I mean, we start with a white sheet of paper and then start constructing this great American experiment that, wow, here it is, 240 years later, we're still having fun, aren't we?
That's right. And, you know, there were a lot of brilliant people involved. Benjamin Franklin was involved, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton. Those are the six great founding fathers. Hamilton was the youngest of them. You know, lived a much shorter life than the others did, and but in some ways, I think he was, you know, the most cerebral, the most intelligent of them. A lot of people say that, in modern terms, Hamilton, of all these brilliant people, Hamilton would have had the highest SATs.
Well, and then, you know, for him to come up with this economic system, like you said, he had studied this. I mean, he had the background and understanding, you know, to construct something that was in some cases unique, but yet, you know, he drew from his past experience, you know, being an immigrant coming from the West Indies, right?
Well, I think being an immigrant, he was exposed to international trade and the global economy more than most mainlanders were. You know, on the mainland, most people were farmers or people working in cities, but mostly farmers and kind of insular. But Hamilton, by coming in from the West Indies where there was an active trade, and he actually worked for a mercantile house in the West Indies, he kind of had an education when he was a teenager that he knew about the world of business, the world of trade, and he brought that knowledge to the United States. And then he, you know, studied the history of other countries, and that's what led him to believe that financial modernization was important, and that became his prime goal when he became Treasury Secretary.
Well, Professor, let me ask you this. In light of today and what was happening internationally, I mean, as you say, Hamilton was sensitive to the, you know, global implications. That was then. And here today, fast forward to the 21st century, what would he say about today's conversation about this globalism versus nationalism?
Well, I think he had a middle ground there. And of course, the world he lived in was, we didn't have a lot of free trade between countries. Britain managed his trade in a mercantilistic, highly regulated fashion. France, another great power. Remember, the United States is a very small country, less than 4 million people. France has 25 to 30 million people. Britain has 10 or 12 million people. And these countries manage their trade. And Hamilton was basically a free trader, but he said, you know, that's appropriate to a world where other countries are free traders. In our world, we're discriminated against. So he said we have to take political actions to maximize our national interest. And that involved, you know, regulating the trade of the United States. And he did a pretty good job of it because he, you know, he kept the tariffs low enough so a lot of imports came in. And that was the main source of taxing the imports was the main source of revenue that Hamilton used to straighten out our finances.
Why did Hamilton become the least loved of the major founding fathers? I mean, it was like he was in the crosshairs. The left, the right didn't much care for him. What was going
on? Well, yeah, and I think in his own time, he was a very forceful individual, and he had strong views on what ought to be done. And, of course, not everybody agreed with him. So, you know, Jefferson and Madison actually throughout most of the 1790s were opposing what Hamilton stood for. They were wanted us to be a nation of farmers, and Hamilton was doing all this modernizing stuff, including dangerous things like introducing modern finances and financial crises. And but in terms of today's politics, you know, Hamilton, until this musical smash hit, Hamilton was least loved because nobody in our political spectrum liked him. Mm-hmm. The left wing, the sort of Bernie Sanders types of the world, didn't like people like Hamilton because he stood for business, finance, Wall Street, corporations.
Right.
And, you know, Bernie Sanders thinks those are things that need to be regulated more. So you might think that the conservatives or the right wing would be in favor of Hamilton, but no, they don't like him either because he was the guy who built up the strength of the federal government. He was a big government guy, and we all know that the federal government is too big and meddles too much in our affairs. And so, you know, they don't like him for that reason. And so the poor Hamilton, you know, the left doesn't like him, the right doesn't like him. And yet the country is beginning to like him because of the musical.
Well, don't they realize, I guess, maybe after all is said and done, that Hamilton, his legacy still continues? I mean, we're living pretty much in his world still, aren't we?
I think that if you actually understand what the Founding Fathers stood for, and especially Hamilton, you will realize when you study Hamilton that he stood more than 200 years ago for what defines our country today. We're very strong economically. We have our political freedoms. We have our strong military establishment. We have our free press. You know, Hamilton founded the New York Post. Just so many things that Hamilton was involved in that, you know, later on became the defining characteristics of our country. And so I think, you know, in that sense, he was maybe the most important of the Founding Fathers.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing your 50 years of experience with.
My name is Lee and I'm 41. I've been using One World Wave for 2.5 years now. I suffered a bulged L4 and L5 disc from a car accident 3 years ago, and since that time I've been unable to walk long distances, do any minor lifting, or just normal activities with my children without having severe back pain. Since I've started using One World Way, I've been able to walk more, engage in activities with my children, and have less lower back pain. One World Way has helped me regain back my strength, confidence, and have a healthier life. I've noticed a weight loss of about 20 pounds, my A1C dropped 2 points, and I have more energy now. One World Way has helped me regain back my life.
The results for clients on One World Way have surpassed the results for most any other supplements as well as all other whey protein powders. One World Whey is non-denatured and frequency encoded. We believe the frequency encoding increases your body's production of glutathione and energy production. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Did you know your car can